listening to the Best of the Patriots. A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating the sexual health issues of men, with 5 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, by Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Morning, Coach.
Creamy. And drains won't flow.
Yes, yes, you understand. I mean, the drains were flowing a little bit there heading into the end of that football game, and you just didn't. You get it to overtime, you don't come away with the win.
Yeah, I mean that's disappointing. At the same time, I thought there were multiple situations that came up in the game, first half and second half, that I thought we executed well on. Going into overtime, I felt good about our chances. Just didn't pull it out.
Drake May ends up being responsible arm and legs for 301 of your 315 total yards on offense. I think he's your lead rusher for 3 out of 4 games. You feel like you got to find a way to get that run game going to help him.
Absolutely.
Help him out a little bit.
Yeah, my son last night, like, Dad, what's wrong with the run game? For me, it always starts up front, and we talk about the mentality and things like that. And us as coaches, we're in the solution business, and we just got to find out a way to get Ramondre and Gibby and Hasty, those guys, an opportunity. Because we can say whatever we want. Like, we couldn't get those guys started. The first half, we were under 1 yard a carry, and the second half, we still were under 1 yard a carry. So we just had to do a better job.
When you sent Drake May the memo, did you bold that he needs to slide? Because I don't know if he got the message.
Look, this guy, he's a competitor. He's also a rookie, and he's trying to make plays. He's trying to do what he thinks is best to help the team win, and I appreciate that. And at the same time, we have to make sure that he's protecting himself.
Being a rookie, though, and being able to continue in the way in which he likes to play the game, him saying after the game, I'm not going to change the way in which I play, even though I went out into concussion protocol. Does that speak to him being young, or is that just a guy who's going to play the game of football the way in which he wants to be to play it and not be worried about any type of injury or anything that could come his way?
Yeah, he's a competitor. He's a competitor, and I think as he continues to progress, he'll second-guess some of those hits that he's taken, but at this time, he just wants to help the team win, and I appreciate that.
Gerard, one of the things that I noticed yesterday is that you were very upset about another penalty. You're like middle of the pack. Through the first 4 weeks of the season, you guys are in like the top 5.
Yeah.
What's going on with, it seems like, consistently just sloppy, stupid penalties? And at one point, like I said, it was a point where you were upset. What do you think the issue is that you're still having these penalty issues?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with all the penalties that are called. Uh-huh. I'm saying that. For the NFL, I am not criticizing the referee.
Right. You ain't talking. Right. Yeah.
But what I will say, like, I thought, we talk about the referee crew the night before every game. We knew that, this was a high penalty calling crew. The Titans had more penalties than we did. I would say, like, even on the Polk holding call, I thought that was a little bit soft, but they called it. Even the Polk not being set, like, that's on the quarterback. And again, like, the quarterback has to make sure everyone's set. But those are the little things, the growing pains that we continue to go through. But we just have to be better.
Gerard, the final play of regulation, unbelievable extension of the play by Drake May, and then the extra point. What was the thought process in not going for two, and how was that executed? Is it you're saying on the splitter, we're going for the extra point? Is there a conversation while the drive's unfolding? Should you score, we have a 2-point play ready to go. How did that all unfold?
We always stay ahead of the game, and that conversation happened long before the 12-second play. And again, I thought that was the best thing to do for our team. And honestly, you know, either way, unless you execute the play, you'll be criticized. Like, we go for two and we don't get it a couple games ago, and this time we kicked the extra point, and I felt good. I felt like that was the right thing to do. So it's not like I'm stuck anyway. I think, you know, there's a combination of things that go into that decision, and ultimately it's my decision, and that's what I decided to do.
Hey, Gerard, it's interesting you say that, because we as fans, we play, you know, we're playing the Madden game. Go for two, go for two. But you're playing the game in reality of, like, by kicking the extra point gives us the best chance of winning this football game. I know we talked about, like, the statistically, and that's, I feel like, it's proven on paper that kicking the extra point gives you the better chance of going in overtime, you know, if you can win the toss. Is that the mindset that you had? Like, this is gives us the best chance. We're not playing some fantasy football here. Well,
but you just said the ifs. I mean, you have to win the toss. I mean, the odds.
Right.
You know.
Well, we didn't. We didn't win the toss.
Right. Do you get analytics on that, or are you making?
We always look at analytics, and I would say we also have discussions at a time of peace. And that time of peace being in a room with the coordinators, going through multiple situations, and then you get into the game. You have to remember the things that you talked about, also taking into account the flow of the game and what's actually going on. So, you know, I think a lot of people think, you know, when you say analytics, that coaches are just sitting there with a book and it's like, well, this is 55%. You know, like, this is what we got. This is what we should do. No, like the weather, like analytics, they don't take the weather into account. It doesn't take the flow of the game into account. I think there's so many different variables that you have to kind of go through it. I will say this as a staff. I thought, you know, we had a play ready to go. I thought we stayed ahead of the game. And, I mean, for me as a head coach, I can't ask for anything more from my staff.
Is there a belief, though, that as a former player, going for it there is saying, I believe in you, Drake. I believe in this offense. I'm going to lose, win or lose, with these guys with one play from the three-yard line?
I think Drake will tell you it's not about just Drake. It's about what's best for the team. And that's what I... That's how I look at it.
Going back to just Drake, though, his turnovers, do you put that on him being so young, or is that something that he just needs to work on? It's a Drake problem, not a rookie problem.
No, I mean, look, he's trying to make plays out there, and, I mean, that comes with it. It's the same thing when we talked about, you know, guys breaking tackles and having issues holding onto the ball. Like, you love a guy that breaks tackles, but at the same time, you're more susceptible to, you know, those type of plays. And look, I'm not going to try to change the way he plays. I look forward to seeing the way he continues to develop. And in saying that, I'm sure the turnovers and things like that will become less and less. And I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you'll see, like, you know, moving forward with his ability, like he's proven that he can run? You say the running game's kind of stumbled a little bit. Maybe adding him into that as far as more of a design runs for him to kind of maybe confuse the defense a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a great point. And, again, I would say – it's easy to sit in here and say that, yet at the same time we have a guy freshly out of the protocol that we're just sitting here telling them to run out of bounds and slide, but then we'll put in quarterback design runs. I mean, right. it's a tough conversation.
On the protocol, so did he have a concussion, or is the protocol also for seeing if you did or if you didn't? If does that make sense? Like, do we know that he indeed had a concussion?
That made no sense to me. So you asked me, did it make sense? And it doesn't. I will say this.
Did he get a concussion?
Listen, this is what I would say. The NFL called down. He was put in a concussion protocol. He cleared the concussion protocol and played for us.
So we don't know if he had a concussion or not.
He was in the concussion protocol. That's the question for, I guess, the league.
Yeah. So the team doesn't know if he has a concussion?
He was in the concussion protocol. I'm not going to keep going back and forth on this.
No, I'm just curious because it was quick. I didn't know that he was going to be in there. So if he didn't indeed have one, it would make more sense.
They put a spotter, an NFL spotter, called down. They said, all right, we believe he may have a concussion. They placed him in the concussion protocol. He cleared those hurdles and was able to play. Like, those guys are way smarter than me as far as concussions are concerned, so I don't know.
Wiggy's our concussion expert.
He's had a few.
I think, you know, that's the, it's all, they're all different,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because
have you had one?
I probably, like you, have had multiple. Right?
Don't put me in that bucket.
I mean, I don't know. I guess the independent doctor, I guess it's so difficult because now when we, or at least when I played, I can't, like I said, I can't really talk when you played. But when I played, there wasn't this independent doctor. It was like more of like, oh, I'm good.
Self-diagnosis.
And then, you know, right. Where now it's completely taken out of your hand.
That's right.
And so even if he passes during the game, then it's up to the team to make the decision on whether or not we want to put him back in there. Is that how it works nowadays?
If he passes, look, if we think he gives us the best chance to win and they clear him on the field, he's going
okay.
right back in.
Okay. All right.
Jacoby Brissett keeps trying to put him back in there.
Does your week change at all this week with the trade deadline tomorrow? Like, you guys talk about plans a lot. What is the plan going into tomorrow's trade deadline?
I think first, look, this isn't baseball. And in baseball, you know, you have big name players going to other teams. Like, I would say historically, even as a player and now as a coach, the trade deadline is a bunch of hype. It's a bunch of hype. Like, who's going to move a starting quarterback to another team right now? Who's going to move a starting left tackle? I mean, it rarely happens.
Gerard, you had that situation at halftime, and we were kind of talking about this. It was 2nd and 1, and we're always trying to figure out, like, the input and everything.
2nd and 1 and 3rd and 1, you got to be able to pick up a
football. Right. Well, I guess the question I'm asking is, at that 2nd and 1 point, do you jump on the headset and say, hey, let's maybe take a shot here, we want to get some points, or are you just, like, kind of letting Alex do what you think is best that he can do for the offense?
Whatever unit's out there on the field, I'm on that channel.
Okay.
And I let Alex know what I want to do, and we'll have, you know, sometimes we have conversations, and again, we try to stay ahead of the game, and we talk through those things.
Okay.
But again, I would say ultimately, like, look, it's my choice.
Hellman's Mayo question of the week for Gerard Mayo. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. This is from the Subaru of New England text line. Just I'll sum it up. Another great return on the punt yesterday. Yeah. And how important is that from a motivation point of view for this football team?
It's huge. It's huge. And, you know, we challenged the special teams unit to go out there and make plays, and they did. Marcus is doing a heck of a job. I think he's leading the league in punt return average. And, you know, it's not just him. It's the guys that are out there blocking for him.
All right.
Works for me.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. On to Chicago.
Now we got to wrap this up. We got to wrap up Tennessee, make some corrections, and then we'll be. It's about New England. It's about the Patriots today, and then tomorrow we'll move on.
How much did you look at Caleb Williams? Obviously, everybody kind of assumed he was going to go number one, but
when you clapped your hands, I thought I was about to be over.
Well, I was just. You mentioned the Bears. I'm curious about
bonus,
your thoughts on Caleb Williams.
It's like what
Williams.
The police do.
It's bonus credit.
Look, Caleb Williams. Yeah. Caleb Williams, you know, coming out. I think we all agreed he's one of those guys that can make all the throws, extend plays, and can make spectacular plays, and. You know, they'll be a challenge for us.
Devon Godchow called Drake May Josh Allen 2.0. You agree with that assessment, kind of comp-wise?
I call him Drake May 1.0. I don't want to get into comparisons of, you know, look, Josh Allen's a multi-year Pro Bowl quarterback, and we're here at the beginning stages of a developing quarterback that I think we're all excited about.
Yeah. All right. Great. Thanks, Coach. Conversation with the Coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots, and we are at Gillette Stadium. You can go do your We're just going to talk. We're going to talk about you after you leave.
I'm going to see if we can find the Nuggets.
We'll try
you take a picture of your sheet. So.
Did you, from a Nugget perspective, did you end up with any? I mean.
More clarification on going for two, not going for two. It was decided beforehand, and they went with what they planned.
I am fascinated by this protocol thing. The more ambiguous it gets, the more interested in it I become. Like, so I don't even know how that. I've never had a concussion that I know of. I mean, I was dropped many times as a baby, but I don't understand what the protocol means. Who is implementing it? How you grade out of it? What you know? Like, is to me.
Well, Greg's talked about how you grade out of it. Like, there's steps that you have to pass, and
are you talking about the in-game protocol?
I think the whole thing.
I think what you're saying is. It seems like there is somebody, there were some bodies watching every single hit, and if one looks like it's going to be detrimental to the league, they want to make sure that they get that player out and identified. But I assure you
there are players that exhibit similar symptoms as a quarterback on half the plays in the NFL, and those players are not taken out of the game and put into protocol, if that makes any sense. And so what is, this is a really slippery slope for a big game 2 weeks from now. The Chiefs are in Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm.
That game likely will decide who hosts the AFC Championship and who gets the only bye in the AFC. Massive implications. What's to say Josh Allen does one of the Josh Allen runs, gets dinged in his head, and it's, you know, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter of a tie game, and all of a sudden he's out the rest of the game.
Well, see, that's the interesting part, because that's what I was kind of asking him about. Did he clear concussion protocol in the Jets game, and then it's up to the team to make the decision if they want to keep on playing him, or does he not clear it in the game, and that's why he's done for the game? Because we saw Davante Adams, we saw Josh Allen several weeks back, where their symptoms were a lot worse than Drake May. Like, we didn't even know about Drake May because he went in a couple more plays.
Right.
So that independent doctor who's up there, if we can't tell, what's he see that makes him stay, keep my eyes on this guy, and then say that to somebody, hey, check this guy for a concussion, versus when you see like a Josh Allen or
Patrick Mahomes,
Davante Adams, you like instantly know, get him in protocol, go through it. Oh, he passed. He's good to go
back.
Well,
wasn't it when he was on the sideline and Drake was talking to other players on the team, and maybe that's where.
But who, the independent doctor's not on the sideline, though, right? He's upstairs.
No. Yeah.
Well, there's somebody on the sideline in the blue tent that's there. That's a spotter that's on the field. There's multiple people.
So there's a spotter upstairs and a spotter on the field?
Yeah.
See, I don't know, because that's
what. That's what the broadcast says. Yeah. They're probably like Al Jazeera, so I don't know if they're being honest.
Well, that's why I said with Gerard, I don't, like, nowadays it's completely different. I remember taking, like, a concussion test back in the day, but that was just to see, like, if you got one, where you were when you didn't have one versus when you take it. But now it's like you have all these in-game protocols that you have to me, that's the biggest thing. What are the in-game protocols? I'd love to know what they put them through to say, okay, he's good to go back out there.
And why can't you say he had a concussion if he had a concussion? Like, is that, to me, is an important, sorry, if we're talking about benchmarks, like, As a player, I'd want to know how many concussions I've had over the course of my career.
I think it's more he doesn't want to say.
Yeah, I'm like, sure Drake
I
knows.
I don't think my guess is that they don't think he had a concussion.
Right, that's what I was trying to get at.
That's my guess, and that's why he was able to get through when it comes to those four steps or five steps to get back, why it went so quickly.
But my thing is, who does it hurt if the world knows he didn't have a concussion?
I don't know.
I get the other side. If he has something, and maybe you don't want the world to know about potential issues, but if he's cleared the protocol, the NFL doesn't want concussions. If you have this independent person that's seeing it and says that we thought he did, but he did not, then everybody
would
be happy.
Maybe he's saying he doesn't know, right? Because if you're...
Well, that's also scary if we don't even know how to diagnose
him. No, but that's what it seems like, right? If you're...
No, I think it hurts the doctor who put him in the protocol.
No, because I think the NFL looks good. They're being proactive. The Patriots won that game anyway.
Because it's getting your bell rung. That's why I said to him, like, we've kind of all had concussions. He's like, well, wait a second. I'm not saying... And I'm like, well, isn't a concussion like, you just get your bell rung and you're like that part of it? But if that's not technically the term for concussion, if there's a different way to look at, you understand?
No, I don't think there's any different way to look at it. I think like they overreacted to the hit.
Right.
Put him in the protocol.
Because it looked bad.
I mean, and they're worried about if he's out there and he's, you know, doing a Tua or whatever,
totally.
that the league does not want you to see that on television.
That hit, you wouldn't even know that he had a Tua. When he got up, he was stumbling. Hey, we need to get, or he's out cold. Right.
Or like Edelman in Super Bowl 49.
Yeah, like you're stumbling around and people are holding him up. With the Drake May one, no one would have, like, when he got hit, everybody was just like, oh, that's a dirty hit, that's a dirty hit. No one was thinking, like, potential concussion. That's why, I guess... I would love to sit down with an independent or just somebody and say, okay, this is what we view as a concussion. Getting your bell rung is not viewed in our minds, and I'm saying the professional, as a concussion.
Yeah.
I mean, I was interested in that. I also, my other nugget from Mayo, the desire to say he's in charge of everything at all times, from where I sit, is a little bit of an overcorrection, which strikes me that he doesn't have as much power as he would say. Like, that he's on every play call, that he's doing everything with AVP. Like, I agree that he could change a play. I definitely think he has that. But like I think Alex Van Pelt is calling the offensive
plays. I think it's a reaction though to people who are nitpicking and asking how much he's doing.
Right.
Right. No, yeah. I understand that. I just think that there's the way that final play unfolded and the decision to kick and the immediate reflection by Mayo with us that, you know, I went for two in Jacksonville and everybody was on me. It was, well, right. Well, that was the wrong time to do it. It doesn't mean that you can never go for two
that's
again.
That's why I asked him on the second and one. Does, you know, like, all right, in that situation, the second and one right before halftime, you got some timeouts in your pocket. That's a great time to take a shot. Is he saying, hey, Alex, take a shot here, and if not, we'll go with something safe on third down and try to continue to move the ball and get points? And he was like, well, you know, when I say what I want to do, I got the right, and that's what we're going to do. So that's, I guess that's all I'm saying. Not that you don't have the right to say, but I'm saying, are you making recommendations in that point?
Right. All right. Our conversation with Gerard Mayo brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. You'll hear what Drake May has to say coming up this afternoon on the afternoon show. It's a Patriots Monday. We will be right back from Gillette Stadium.
Keith, you ready to yell about a two-point conversion?
I am ready. I'm so ready. I was born ready for this.
I know you are.
I've been fired up about this for a long time.
I heard you last night. Yeah, you were fired up about this last night at the Bruins game.
Brag. We were at the Bruins game. That's right.
Yeah. Humble brag.
By the way, I think it was Kevin in the Twitch chat DM'd me, and he was like, I thought I saw you guys, but you're a lot taller in person than I thought. So he's like, I didn't go up to you. I didn't think it was you.
Kevin,
I was like,
yeah, that's us. Right there?
You and me, stilts. You see a couple of tall dudes walking down the garden. That's us.
You tweeted out a picture of the two of us.
Yeah, yeah.
There at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram.
Pretty good. But that was
my neck wouldn't quit. It was just a long.
Long neck.
I thought I had a little Merton Davis Hanks. Mills thing going. I have a Merton Hanks thing going on in that picture.
Not bad.
And so anyway, at the Bruins game though, you're all fired up.
I was fired up.
Kevin, you probably heard him a couple sections over yelling about this at the Bruins game.
Two-point unbelievable final play by Drake May. Great final drive to get all the way down there. It looked like they were dead. The offense had been terrible since the one drive to start the second half. There wasn't a lot going on. That crazy play by Drake May. And even as they're going down, you're like, this game for the most part has been a bit of a mess.
It wasn't a great watch.
No, two of the worst teams in the NFL proving it right in front of our eyes. And you're saying, if they score here, why go to overtime? Why take your chances in overtime? Go for two. And I'm not of the belief, hey, go for two every single time in that situation. But look at all the particulars. You're a horrible team. They're a horrible team. You're on the road. You needed a Houdini play to get a touchdown at the very end. So you really want to go to overtime, take your chances. Maybe you get the ball to start. Maybe you don't. You either got to play defense or you got to have a long drive. Because the other part of this, shout out once again to Marcus Jones. Best punt return guy in the league, sets you up short field.
Guy's a legitimate weapon.
Yes. Don't punt it to him. Why teams punt it to him is insane. So they should have gone for two. 2 yards. 2 yards, and you win the game. And they're like, oh, well, that would have taken some of the momentum out of the touchdown. No, it didn't. You ended up losing the game anyway. This was the call. They should have gone for two, put the ball in Drake May's hands, give him an option to either run, pass, whatever. Let Drake May make a great play. Because, yeah, he made a great play in a loss. You could have capped it off back-to-back great plays, gotten a win, would have been a fourth-quarter comeback drive for Drake May, all that stuff. I don't know why. You seem to be really scared if you don't think you can get 2 points against Tennessee. That I think is worse than saying, hey, really, we're going to go to overtime and see what happens there.
So I agree. It's the play becomes a footnote instead of like a moment that will live on for Drake May. Yeah. You didn't win the game.
Nope. Lost.
If you cap off that touchdown with a 2-point conversion and you walk it off in Nashville, granted against a bad Titans team.
Well, whatever, you're bad, they're bad, fine.
We feel so differently about that, and now you've won two games in a row and it feels like you're building towards something. Instead, again, it's a phenomenal play, but it comes in a loss. It's a footnote on the game. So you guys can talk about this all day long. 617-779-7937. I know a lot of you agree with Rich Keefe. The Greg Hill Show did a poll this morning. 70% of you and counting think you should have gone for two at the end of the game, which I do agree with, and I'll explain my thoughts on it coming up. Gerard Mayo, by the way, should be feeling the pressure. Another head coach just got fired.
Dennis Allen.
My guy, Dennis Allen.
We just missed.
You're done.
Robert Saleh was the first coach fired. Yeah. Nick, we were right around it with Dennis Allen. So another
hot start too, weren't they 2-0?
They started 2-0 and they were scoring
points.
A million points. They scored points. On 15 straight points. Drives to open the season. I don't think they scored since.
Yeah, today's a big day because you had the Raiders fired their offensive coordinator.
Yep, Luke Getsy.
Luke Getsy.
Who the Patriots interviewed.
Oh, you got a sniff
that
here.
That was one of their picks.
Yeah, sure did. He's one of their guys.
One of the guys who said no.
He's like, I'm
one of the guys who's like, I couldn't possibly go there. I'm going to go to the Raiders and get fired.
So he's out. Dennis Allen's out.
Yeah.
And so, it should be hot seat city.
And the only reason I bring the Dennis Allen thing up is because we were talking about odds to fire Jerod Mayo on Friday last week. Doug Peterson had the heaviest odds. Mayo was second.
Alone. And then Allen was third.
Now a guy further down, third on the depth chart.
Pretty wild.
In terms of coaching firings or the odds on it from BetAG, is now out. So add that to the list. Meanwhile, Jerod Mayo was on the Greg Hill Show this morning. He was asked about his decision to not go for two at the end of the game because he
his, in quotes, decision.
Well, true. He acknowledged Keith after the game. It was a very legitimate question.
Great
to
question.
Ask about going for two.
I don't know.
I don't wish to talk about that right now. And like, so
what?
Here's what he said today on WEEI with the Greg Hill Show.
What was the thought process in not going for two, and how was that executed? Is it you're saying on the splitter, we're going for the extra point? Is there a conversation while the drive's unfolding? Should you score, we have a two-point play ready to go. How did that all unfold?
We always stay ahead of the game, and that conversation happened long before the 12-second play.
Wednesday.
And again, I thought that was the best thing to do for our team. And honestly, either way, unless you execute the play, you'll be criticized. Like, we go for two and we don't get it a couple games ago, and this time we kicked the extra point. And
these are different.
I felt like that was the right thing to do.
Okay, so
it's not like I'm stuck anyway. I think, there's a combination of things that go into that decision, and ultimately it's my decision. That's what I decided to do.
Okay, so
these are very different. Not all two-point conversions are the same.
What do you think he was talking about? Because I heard that driving in.
So they went for two a couple weeks ago.
Jacksonville is what he's talking about, right?
Okay. And so you and I didn't like it for a different reason, because we're more of the sort of, in that situation, you're down two scores, sort of extend the game, you kick the extra point. Then at 8:22, I believe, left in the fourth quarter, you're now down eight. So if you get a stop, you get the ball back, still one possession. You go for two, miss it, you're down nine. We all talked about last week. Now, there is sort of an analytical thing that sort of backs that and blah, blah, blah. And there's two sides, whatever. But you didn't get it. We weren't necessarily criticizing the fact that you didn't get it, more so the decision. Just like now, I'm criticizing the decision. Now, I even went on record.
He's not wrong, though. Like, he will get criticism either way if it's wrong. Like, duh. Like, if the play doesn't work, then you're going to get criticism. But
it's part of the job. But
right,
I also
but making
think,
the analogy to the Jacksonville game, those are not right, because I didn't want them to go for two there. I wanted them to go for two yesterday.
Completely different. This is literally for the win.
Right.
This is for the win with no time left.
The other one, you would have extended the game by not going for it.
Yeah, no, the other one, it made more sense in my mind, and it would have been more of a momentum thing to kick the extra point. Now you reward that drive. You're like, hey, that drive, now we're one score down. Mm-hmm. Instead, you go for two, get stuffed, and now you're like, we still need two possessions. These are apples to orange. The only thing the same about it is it's a two-point play. So if it gets stuffed, would he have gotten criticism?
Sure.
Not everybody agrees with it. So I'm sure there are some people out there that are like, take the point and win it in overtime.
And we might have
How much confidence do you have they're going to win it in overtime? This isn't Tom Brady where you're like, get him the ball. He's going to march down the field and win.
No. And we might have criticized the play call. Like, I don't have to like the play call, but I think we would have applauded the decision to go for two.
100%. I can't speak for everybody, but I would have said great decision. Then from there, if they get stuffed, we say, hey, Alex Van Pelt, why did you just run the ball into the guard?
Or if it's another whip route to Jalen Polk and he can't stay on his feet down by the goal line.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have an issue with the play call, but
Those two different things, the decision
to go for it, I like to think we would applaud. By the way, just so it's worth mentioning, the analytics on the play do back their decision yesterday. Win probability by kicking the PAT, which Joey Sly almost missed, 48.2%.
Yeah, he did.
Win probability on the two-point attempt, 46%. So you have better odds of winning the game. I guess, in a vacuum, you have better odds. It's analytically backed. Whose decision do you think it was to go for two? Because Mayo said, we have these conversations. It's well thought out. It was well before the 12-second play.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose decision do you think was it to go for two yesterday?
I do, or to not go for two.
I'm sorry, to not go for two. That decision, yeah, whose decision was it?
I think Mayo's. Now,
I don't.
Who do you think it was then?
I think it's the guy in his ear. If it's Evan Rothstein, if it's Ben McAdoo, I think it's Evan Rothstein.
So, like, the stat guy?
Yes.
Being like, hey, stats say.
I bet those numbers that Reese just gave you, this scenario, it's a 48% chance we win if we kick. So, kick.
But if you're right, and doesn't Mayo have the opportunity to say, no, we're
to overrule it.
Like,
yes.
Hey, I appreciate your numbers, but you're not the head coach.
Yes.
But he doesn't feel strongly enough to argue.
Yes.
In that case, fine.
I think he has the autonomy to do it, but I think the voice in his head, the voice in the headset, rather, is telling him, here are the analytics. And
he doesn't have a strong enough argument.
He just goes, the numbers are the numbers, so let's go with it. These are the numbers, so let's go with it.
Keefspiracy.
Yeah.
This is going to, so I don't think Mayo did a good job yesterday with that. But Keefspiracy, maybe he just has such little faith in Alex Van Pelt to draw up a play for 2 yards.
I like it.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. He's just like, I don't think he can do it. I'll take my chances. And maybe we get a big return, or maybe for some reason he still has faith in his defense or something like that. He's like, we'll win it that way. But no, I just think it would have meant more to the team to be like, hey, we're going all. You see this every once in a while in college. You'll see like college teams do this.
Okay.
There are some pro teams that do it too, that are like, hey, we're going for two. Like, we're going to win it right now. We're on the road. We're a bad team. Worst thing that happens, we lose another game. We've lost every game just about this year anyway. But what a sign to your team, I think, to say, hey, we're going for it. Hey, Alex Van Pelt, even. Like, not your best
We've
day.
We've got Drake
You
May.
Call this one play
we
right
believe
now?
In you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think there's a tangible
kick the
thing
point.
There, too.
Oh, lame.
Okay, and I just think when you're this bad, you go for the win because what's the difference?
What's the harm?
Try to get the win. And if you lose, oh, well, you lost anyway. And we know that now.
But he went down swinging. This is literally the difference between, like, taking the third strike or swinging at it.
Right. But I just think if you're the Patriots of old, you're going to be a 10-win team and a playoff team, you kick the extra point, you go to overtime. Yeah. That's not what you are. You're a dog crap team. So you try to get the win right then and there. And if you don't get it, there probably will be blowback. Yeah. I would applaud the decision of going for it in that scenario. I hated the decision in Jacksonville. I don't think they are comparable.
They're not.
But he's using that as cover. And I'll be honest, I don't think it was Jerod Mayo's call yesterday. That's not to let him off the hook.
Do you believe him that he was 12 plays ahead?
No, definitely not.
They knew for sure if they went down, they're going to kick the point.
I heard Chris Curtis this morning, and I think he's right. I don't think they had a good idea what they were doing that whole drive. It was not that different than the Jets the week before, where the Jets are getting a delay a game on the two-point conversion. You should have known the whole time you're going for two.
No, it was embarrassing for them.
How do you get a delay a game? This was like that. I don't know how committed they looked to going for two, or kicking, rather, and not going for two at the end of the game.
I feel like you have to be pretty confident in one side of the ball to just tie it and go to overtime, meaning you're like, hey, we have a great defense. Mm-hmm. They're going to lock them down, and hell, they might even score. Or like you have the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes effect where you're like, as soon as we get the ball, we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But you put it in the hands of the toss, then the way the whole thing plays out, they just milk clock for the longest time.
7.5 minutes or whatever.
They
just
took like most of the time, like 80% of the overtime. And to your credit, you did force a field goal, so you had like a chance, but I mean, at that point, the game is pretty much over. So you're leaving it in the hands. Because I know Drake May, after the game, was talking about how, like, A, you know, our defense was fresh. And I'm not going to pile on Drake May. I think he's just trying to be whatever the team does is the right thing kind of guy.
Yeah.
And
good soldier.
But the defense is fresh. Well, what if you guys get the ball? But the defense is still on the sideline. Like, so rather than 2 yards, you now take a tired offense and you got to go 70 yards.
Uh-huh.
Like, please, 2 yards. Yeah. If you don't think you can get 2 yards, I think it says a lot more about your team than anything else.
And so I'm with you, Keith. I'm with the majority voting in that Greg Hill Show poll. 70% think they should have gone for two to win that game at the end of regulation. How do you feel about it? 617-779-7937. I'm curious to hear from the 30% that disagree with both of us and the majority of you out there.
I wonder if those are just AVP
could be
haters. And they're just like, it's not going to draw anything up.
It could be. Yeah. So I'd like to hear your logic on that. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Text at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram. You can check out Keith and I, looking very handsome at the Bruins game last night, at Jones and Keith. Watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Healthy, lively chat going on Twitch. And you can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. What did you think of Drake May yesterday, Keith? I mean, the final play was, final play of regulation, rather, was unbelievable. 12 seconds scrambling around, backyard play, skies it up to Ramondre Stevenson. Underrated part of that play is he makes a great catch on that play. But Drake May makes an unbelievable play to force overtime. He also was 95, 96% of their offense in terms of yardage yesterday. What'd you tell me, 301 out of 315?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So 96% of their offense. He's running for almost 100 yards.
Yeah.
He's doing everything offensively. But he's also making mistakes, including a mistake that lost it in overtime. The final pick, which was a brutal play. I thought the fumble was really bad. I thought his first interception was really bad. So it was a mixed bag yesterday out of Drake May. What did you think of his performance on balance?
I actually thought he was very good. I think overall, I think he was very good. I think part of it is he, and yesterday was a great example of has nothing to work with. His play caller is bad. His receivers are bad. His offensive line is average at the very best, but probably also bad. His like Ramondre Stevenson, I think, is good, but because of the play calling and the line, he runs for 16 yards on 10 carries. The guy's got nothing going with him. So, he ends up turning the ball over three times. The last one, they didn't have a ton of time anyway. I also think Kayshon Boutte quit on the play.
Yeah, fair.
I think he looked really bad. Now, not that that's a touchdown, but maybe it's not a pick. Maybe Boutte plays defense and you just live to play one more down. So, but still, the fumble one, I would have liked to see him get away. Like, he's going to throw picks. He needs to take chances. He doesn't have great receivers. They're not always going to be wide open. So he's going to throw some picks. The fumble is the one that I would like him to have back the most and sort of see what would have happened if he was able to hold on to the ball there. But I thought he was very good. I think he was running a lot, and he took some big hits. But I think he also is looking around being like, what else are we going to do? How are we going to move the ball if it's not me doing it? So I thought overall, understanding that there were turnovers there, I thought he was very good.
Okay. Real quick, since you mentioned it, what did you think of the running around yesterday? Did that surprise you at all? Because he ran a lot. I did not want them to limit him and limit his legs at all. He ran a lot more than I expected.
There was
yesterday.
At least two times where I think he even thought of sliding and then like hesitated and then didn't and then got kind of popped a little bit, which I'm fine with him running. You and I were talking about this last week, even with a concussion. Like, unfortunately, that won't be the last concussion he gets in his career. It's just the nature of the game, but slide, maybe get out of bounds if you can. He was trying to pick up every yard possible. So this is, it's funny because a lot of the commentary from Mayo and Van Pelt a week ago was like, oh, he's got to protect himself, got to protect himself, which weirdly enough, he did protect himself in the game he got hurt. Sure. And then this game is a little bit more reckless. Also, I don't know if his helmet fits. Doesn't his helmet pop like his chin strap up by his nose all over the time?
Place.
Like,
that's true.
I mean, that doesn't look right for a guy coming off a concussion. You might want to make sure the equipment fits, but no, he was aggressive running, which I don't mind. I just would have maybe on two of them like slid right before he got hit.
Look, I like him running, and to me, yesterday is proof of the people. Oh, get have him run! He's gonna get
no,
hurt.
No, you need him to run.
He was awesome running the ball yesterday. He has pretty good instincts, I think, on it. The fumble aside, I think he has pretty good instincts on when to go and when not to. I think largely he's scanning down the field. He's not flushed out of the pocket and looking panic and dropping his eyes. I think largely he keeps his eyes up. He's looking to throw first, and then he takes the yards that are there. I love that about his game. I was shocked he ran as much as he did. I was shocked he ran with such reckless abandon as he did early in the game, fresh off a concussion. But I like that about him. So that I had no problem with. On balance, I didn't love his day yesterday.
No.
The final play was spectacular. I mean, the final play of regulation was spectacular. I'm sorry, the final play of regulation.
Yeah, yeah.
But the turnovers were bad. He barely cracked 200 yards, Keith, on 41 attempts.
Look who he's got.
Look who he's got.
And look who's calling the plays.
I get that. But look who's calling the plays for Jacoby Brissett. Look who Jacoby Brissett has, and Jacoby Brissett won last week.
Jacoby Brissett's throwing for like 120
I get
yards.
It. And Jacoby Brissett beat the Bengals. And so at a certain point, I do have to say, why isn't Drake winning these games? I know he gets credit for the Jets win. But I took issue with this comment in a Mark Daniels story at Mass Live, and it's from Michael Jordan.
Nice.
The other Michael Jordan, the offensive lineman.
I thought you were talking about MJ.
Who says, Drake's an effing winner. And it's like, well, no, a winner wins the game. Like, not to be a douche about it, but a winner wins the game. I mean, I just, that's not the adjective I would use for Drake May right now in his career.
You say gamer.
Yeah.
You say baller.
Something.
Gamer.
Yeah. Winner to me is not, that's not the word I would use to describe him right now. This used to piss me off with Marcus Smart. Oh, he makes winning plays. It's like the guy's never won squat.
I don't know about that.
So that just starts to bother me. And it's just at a certain point, I need Drake May, as phenomenal as that play was.
Yeah, yeah.
I need him to start winning some games and not making the literal play that lost them the game in overtime.
I get it.
By the way, he was outplayed by Mason Rudolph on the other side, which I have an issue with because that guy's a journeyman's journeyman.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was outplayed. I mean, he lost the game to him, but if you add Drake May's like rushing yards to the game, like I think he was the better quarterback on the field. It was probably closer than it should have been. I think my big takeaway, though, over these 3 weeks is that I was really hopeful that Drake May was good. Like, and you can say anybody coming out of college, like, oh, I like this prospect, I think he's going to be good. And then they play, and you're like, well, maybe next week, maybe next week. Even with some of the turnovers and some of the mistakes, he's good. Like, he is not the problem. Like, I sort of jokingly on Twitter yesterday was like, next year's to-do list for the Patriots. Like, the only thing checked off was quarterback. and punter, but that was before he sucked. No, no, no. Everyone's coming at me now.
You may want to take that back.
I do take it back now. But that was before the game, or that was early in the game, so that was the only other thing. But, no, it feels like you have the one guy. And, yeah, he needs to clean up mistakes. The guy's started three games. He's one of the youngest players in the NFL. Like,
yeah,
that's fine.
Look, no, I love Drake May. I wanted him number one in the draft. He was the quarterback I wanted for the Patriots. So this is, and I'm not dumping on him as a player, but let's just be real about what yesterday was. He threw a million passes. He barely cracked 200 yards. He had brutal turnovers in the game, and they lost. So let's just be real about it. That's all I'm saying. He made a spectacular game, play to force overtime, which was great. And there are definite flashes, and I'm happy with the overall trajectory. I'm happy with the pick. He's not a bust. He doesn't suck. Just yesterday, I didn't love his game. I felt like he was a contributor in a bad way to the loss. And so you guys can jump in on that. How do you feel about Drake May, his performance yesterday? 617-779-7937. Also, did you want the Patriots to go for two at the end of regulation? I know a lot of you did.
Yes,
we can
I
hear
did.
From you. I know Keith did.
Yes, I did.
I'm also very curious to hear from the people who did not want to go for two. I'd like to hear your logic on that. So we'll get into it. We'll also get into the Patriots. Are they putting too much on Drake May's plate? Certainly seems that way. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Lane.
And how about this for another quick turnaround this week? We're joined here in studio by Drake May. He's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next-day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake, how are we doing this week?
What's going on? I'm doing all right.
How you feeling? How's the body? How's the head? How's everything?
Yeah, feeling pretty good. You know, came out of the game feeling all right. You know, I think that's the best thing. You know, I think we're overall pretty healthy as a team, and we got to find a way to win. You know, we came up short, and looking forward to trying to get another chance next week.
Can you add some clarity to how last week went for you in terms of the protocol? I know you made a comment post-game about maybe you stumbled in the balance test with the turf and the cleats. Just can you take us through whatever the hell happened last week?
Yeah, I think the spotter got me from up top, and then from there, was kind of going through the testing on the sideline. They kind of deemed I wasn't good to go back, and from there was just trying to find a way to get back. I wanted to go back out there last Sunday. I'm just trying my hardest to get back out there this week, and I got through the protocol to do some testing this week, but just glad I got to get back out there and compete with the guys.
Have you had concussions before, like in college or high school or anything?
Not reported, so not that I know.
Okay, well, I mean, if you felt it again, I guess is the point. Like, did you think you had one?
I think I definitely took a hit to the head. You know, I'm not 100% sure if, the testing, I think what the NFL does is, to protect those quarterbacks, and obviously we're seeing with what's happened with some of the quarterbacks around the league getting hit in the head. It's an emphasis for them. I think it's up to them, and I think they do a good job of protecting us, and the protocol is a great way for players to really see like if they're ready to go back out there and play. And y'all saw this past Sunday, I was good to go.
Speaking of protecting quarterbacks, a lot of places teach sliding, and you obviously got hit on a slide from behind sort of late. We've seen guys get hit front, back, side, late slides. Did you change anything this week? We didn't see any slides. Are you maybe evaluating it's safer to go head first, safer to kind of go forward?
I think the organization and especially the offensive side, the coaches are doing a good job of harping on in certain situations when it's best to go head first, when it's best to kind of slide. I think I slid once and maybe should have gone head first there, but just trying to protect my body and protect being out there for the team, and the coaches do a nice job of emphasizing it, and they know that it's a big deal. So I'm not really worried. I'm gonna keep playing the same way as we're out there every Sunday. I'm not gonna change the player that I am, and I think when you're one on one with the safety on that first run, and you kind of gotta you know where the hit's coming from. It's a little different. So there's different scenarios, and it's really hard to play kind of play them all out. So it's a split second decision for me, and when it's third down or you got to have it with that last drive, I'm gonna get what I can and using a big 6'5" dude. So
before we get on to any more football questions, what do you think of the new set? What do you think of the chairs here instead of the desk? Did you even notice it was different?
Yeah, I did. I kind of like the other setup a little better.
You like it better? This is a lot more like we're all right on top of each other.
I feel like we should have a beer though, or a drink.
Yeah.
We're waiting in like a club or something.
It's a little
like bottle service coming over.
Yeah, it is a little tight. I asked. I was like, "How's he going to get in? If he trips and gets hurt in here, I'm not taking the blame for it." Oh, we definitely take the blame for that.
Probably
100%. You know that we would. All right. So with that out of the way, you're in the protocol during the week. You're limited in practice. Were you at all concerned that not being able to complete all the practices and get all the reps this week in practice might reveal itself somehow during the game?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think you're behind there watching practice. You know, that first Wednesday, we got 30 minutes, and you use those 30 minutes wisely. You know, in reps where, you know, I'm not getting touched anyway as a quarterback, so I think it's a little easier for quarterbacks to go through the protocol. You're not getting touched in your red jersey out there, regardless. So, yeah, I really wasn't really worried. I feel like I had a good 2 days of practice Thursday and Friday out there with the guys, and then felt good going into the game. So.
Okay, so we've sort of buried the lead here. You had a play yesterday that was kind of the talk of the football world. 11.82 seconds on that throw that ended up being the touchdown to Ramondre Stevenson. Take us through what is going through your mind when you are moving left, right, forward, up. That's a long time before you throw a football in the red zone.
Yeah, I think I missed Hunter probably in the first second or two in the back back end zone on the end line. So probably could have had that play over a lot faster.
That wouldn't have been cool though.
But yeah, they dropped dropped cover two down there, and they dropped the popper out too. So they really dropped eight and rushed three. So just trying to find a way to keep the play alive. Once I missed Hunter in the back, and then Hunter ended up stepping out of bounds. So it was good for him. I think the point waved to me not to throw to me one. At one point, so just trying to stay alive. I think Madre did a nice job of playing like a receiver, and credit to those guys up front for continuing to fight through the play, and those guys, the receivers and running backs, just trying to find a way to make a play.
The longer it goes, are you reaching oh crap status, or do you feel like, well, they're going to let somebody open up sooner or later?
Yeah, I think it's more of a, hey, somebody's going to pop up in here soon. Yeah. I think you just got to evade some defenders sometimes, and Madre made a nice play.
Yeah, that was a tremendous play. I mean, it's really going to be one of those ones that people talk about all year. I know it was a play that happened in a loss, but in terms of your, three starts that you made so far, does that one kind of stand out? Is that, I mean, that was a big moment. Zeros on the clock like that, that had to feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, sitting at the overtime and, getting those guys down there for, a big drive to, extend the game was huge. But obviously, at the end of the day, we didn't win the football game. And that's the disappointing factor.
Did you want to go for two there? Were you ready to go for two there?
I was just trying to catch my breath. I think it was tough. So much emotion and so much energy that we brought out in that long drive. I think we only started at the 50, but it was like 11 or 12 plays. So I was just so tired and exhausted from just, I think I ran off to the sideline right after that. So I think it's in hindsight, it's easy to look back and say, after a loss. But I think we made the right decision.
Was there debate? Was there guys on the sideline saying, come on, let's go for two, let's do it, let's do it, and Mayo shut it down or what?
I don't remember anything like that. I think I think in that scenario, I think you play for overtime. Our defense will be on the sideline, So, whatever the coaches decide, I think, looking back, I think I would do the same thing. So I think it's a hindsight either way you look at it. If we go for it and we don't win, then everybody's like, what are we doing? So I think I was so exhausted just getting to the sideline, trying to catch my breath.
On the play that ended the game, I think you called it a dumb decision last night in your postgame press conference. A couple questions there on specifics. Did Kendrick Bourne falling down affect that? Do you think that safety was able to leave him and maybe create a problem you didn't see? And how much did wind play a factor in maybe it being underthrown?
Yeah, I think KB, maybe, it's hard to kind of predict that. Maybe could have held the safety a little more, but, I think my wind answer, what I said last night, was kind of off of reaction. I don't think, wind with the quarterback and, I don't think it plays that big a factor. So, really, I think it just underthrew it. I got to put it out there more for Booty and let him go make a play. So, really, I think this is just my decision-making and maybe sometimes maybe throw it away there. Or if not, from our opposite 40, maybe try to throw it in the end zone and have a Booty maybe try to catch it over the shoulder. I think, really, I don't think the win ended up being that big a deal. I think it was more just my reaction after the game to make myself feel better.
Well, whatever.
Appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that is that's definitely honest. The play call there, obviously, to go take a deep shot downfield. You still had some time left. It was first down. Any second thoughts on that after seeing how it ended?
Well, I like taking a shot. I think I like taking a shot to go for it. Seal the game. And I think I had him. I had him. And whether or not KB staying up or not affects that safety. I still had eyes on him and saw him. And I think once he failed, he made it drift towards the middle of the field more. But at the same time, I think I had a chance at Booty and got to step into it more.
We always talk about a young quarterback like every rep matters, experience, learning. But are you legitimately learning from the interception that was a little late over the middle under pressure or the fumble? Like, do you feel like you're banking experiences of what not to do when the stove is hot and how not to touch it again.
Yeah, I think just storing those mistakes and learn from them and hopefully not be a repeat offender of these mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing that Coach Mayo preaches is not being a repeat mistake guy. And that's what I'm trying to do back there in these games and these plays that turn out to be huge for the outcome of the game. Like you said, I think there's multiple times that first drive, taking a sack and getting us out of field goal range or making the field goal farther for Joey makes it tough. The interception on third down, we got a chance to punt him inside the 10 and maybe flip the field and when we get the ball back. So little things like that can go a long way into impacting the game. I think you're learning in that and realizing, hey, not every play needs to be a home run.
Is there a fine line there, though, staying aggressive and not being afraid, not throwing everything away unless the guy's wide open. You know what I mean? Still being a playmaker.
I think there definitely is. I think that side of me, I'm not going to lose ever. I think that's hard. Take away the playmaker and the aggressiveness of me. So just being smarter with when not to be. I think that's the biggest thing.
We've asked you questions about feeling like a leader. You said that you do and that the quarterback kind of has to. After that throw at the end, after the game was over, it seemed like a lot of guys were coming up to you and talking to you, trying to pick you up like that. And then after the game, a lot of your teammates had a lot of nice things to say about you. Do you feel as though you're becoming more of a leader in the locker room and that it's starting to become sort of a thing in that room, in that space? Is that developing more as the season goes on?
Yeah, I appreciate those guys, you coming over and saying things to me and, telling me to keep my head up. That goes a long way, especially with the quarterback and a decision like that at a time in that point in the game where we're into the game. It was tough. I think, just more. I'm going to be harder, on myself than probably anybody's going to be harder on me. So that's the mindset I try to keep. And, I think there's another step I can take in leadership-wise. And I got to go, make some plays and, kind of be smart with the football. I think that'll go a long way and kind of earn the guys' trust and respect. But I think I got respect in that locker room with those guys and kind of earn it throughout the year and kind of can make the next step in being some vocal and do little things with teammates to kind of be that quarterback leader that everybody wants.
You almost got to 100 yards yesterday, I believe all on scrambles. I think AVP's talked a little bit, not a ton of designed runs yet. Would you like to see some more designed runs incorporated into the offense to utilize your skill set?
No, I think kind of just dropping back there and hey, if they're not taking advantage of the rush lanes and little things like that, I think I find enough ways to kind of make plays with my feet and trying to extend plays and hit pop on a cross or late over the middle, so extending plays. So I think plays like that, I think we have enough of that in our offense. I think running the football would be tough on my body and taking some hits, extra hits that maybe not need when we got a big time back like Mondre and those guys, AG and Hasty. When you got back like those guys, especially Mondre, I think you want to give him the ball and let him run rather than me.
All right, we got the Chicago Bears this weekend. You guys are heading out to Chicago on Thursday, Friday. It's the first time you've gone up against one of these other rookie quarterbacks with Caleb over there. Does that little extra there, is that something you want to maybe ball out a little bit harder? You're going up against another rookie?
Yeah, anytime you go up against somebody in your class, especially another rookie, I think you want to come up on the winning side. So definitely, any week is, this is the most important week of the year because it's this week, and that's what Coach Mayo, what he stated in the team meeting, what he's preaching. So that's the biggest thing. I think the rookie matchup is it's cool. It's cool for the league. It's cool for me and Caleb. We grew up and going to camps and seeing each other in high school and then in college and then now. So it's a pretty cool dynamic. But I think the biggest thing is coming out with the win.
Speaking of cool, I read something online. I'm assuming it's true that Simmons, their big D tackle, said he sought you out and maybe said something to you after the game. That's going to make you feel good when a guy who's trying to kill you all game comes over and shows you a little respect, especially a guy like that who's a captain, a Pro Bowl talent, been in the league for a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I think, big Simmons, big Jeff is a problem. He's a problem in there, problem inside. He's a great player, and it's pretty cool seeing these guys, around the league. When I was in high school and college, being like, man, that guy's a good player, man. Just watching him on TV and now seeing those guys and playing against him. So I think it's pretty cool to – different throughout the weeks and seeing guys, in the Texans, Daniel Hunter and Will Anderson and guys like that you're getting to play now and was playing against Rodgers last week. So I think it's, just the NFL is a great place for kids who grew up as a fan like me to go and not be competitors.
Do you think that'll ever wear off? Like, do you feel like, oh, yeah, that guy's just a coworker? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, just a coworker.
Yeah, I don't think that ever wear off. As a football fan that I grew up and how much I loved, watching these guys play and having him on my fantasy team growing up. I don't think that ever wear off.
All right, quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, experts in treating men's sexual health with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This comes to us from Dimitri in Cambridge, who asks, you were in Tennessee this past weekend going to Chicago. What cities have been the best to visit so far as an NFL player, and which ones are you looking forward to visiting?
That's a good question. You know, I think Nashville's pretty sweet. I grew up in the South, country music fan and barbecue fan, so it was nice being in Nashville. London was pretty cool. It was different. It's kind of different when you got to go over there for a business trip. I thought San Fran was cool because the weather, such great weather out there. But yeah, looking forward to getting to Chicago. I think I've been to Chicago one other time. I think my brother Luke played up there one time in college. So looking forward, I'd probably say Nashville. It's probably been my favorite growing up in the South.
What about college? What was your favorite road game to play, and what was your least favorite for whatever reason?
BC. I never came up here to BC.
Oh, really?
I think we're playing this year up here, so okay. I missed it maybe by 1 year. Going to Tallahassee and Florida State was pretty cool. Death Valley and Clemson was a good – we had a night game there. That was pretty sweet. Yep. And then my first college game ever, my true freshman year, when Sam Howell was playing, played at Virginia Tech. So it's kind of that's I think we were seventh in the country, so that was a big-time game. But, my least favorite, I wouldn't say, at least I think it's all pretty cool.
Was La Tech intimidating? Because that's Metallica, right, off to Niv and Niv.
Yeah, kind of.
That place gets rocking.
In the sand.
That must have been a little intimidating. Sam, you go out there.
Yeah, exactly. No, I kind of get what it's called, the sand.
Sandman or whatever.
Yeah, Sandman. Yeah. So enter Sandman or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, there it is. Drake May, thank you so much for the time today. Good luck in Chicago, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right. That is Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Not a big fan of this new setup. I mean, hey, what are you going to do?
Making us look awkward.
Take it up with Maddie the Marine out there. It was all his idea. All right. 617-779-7937. There goes Drake May. We'll be right back after Stiz, get you caught up on what's trending.
It is a Tie Tuesday, and Tawan Edward Law on this show, brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. How are you?
I'm not good right now, Greg, man. I got to be honest with you, man. I'm not doing too. I'm a little nervous.
What's the matter?
I got to have a root canal after the show. I'm fresh off of a plane, off of a red eye. I came straight to the studio to be with you guys, but I'm nervous as all hell, man.
I got
to
tell you, I have an irrational fear. I don't have many irrational fears. Mm-hmm. Mimes on the list, certainly.
I have a salad.
I have an irrational fear of dentists. I cannot. I cannot. I'm terrified of being.
Wow. You know what? That's the worst pain.
Are you the same way?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather run into a 300-pound man, head on, full speed, and take that hit, the possible concussion, than go to the dentist. You know what I mean?
Do they put you out for a root canal though?
No, they just
numb it up and stuff.
No, you got to. I'm a little wuss when it comes to that. You know what I mean? Hey, give me some of that laughing gas, Doc. You know what I mean? Give me something.
Something strong.
Well, Ty does. He does the numbing himself, and that's why Raymond's here.
Raymond got the medication. He got the good medicine.
Got that good stuff.
Raymond has the good stuff.
Good luck with that one.
Good luck. How long do they say you're down for? I think I need a root canal. Like, that's my problem, is I think I have a molar that is loose, and I think it's because I need a root canal, and I'm afraid to go get it done. I gotta find a good, if there's a good dentist that listens, like, give me a shout out.
Dr. Peters is good. I mean, he's a Michigan alum, so I feel safe in that aspect. So shout out to Dr.
He's in Boston.
Yeah, he's a doctor. I mean, he does a lot of big dogs. I didn't know he did craft and
Does it bother you when you eat like cold food or hot food and stuff
It does. It gets a little sensitive. That's when you know it's the nerve. But I had a root canal before, on the other side, and it does feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need the molars, though. I'm not a dentist, but they say you don't need those back teeth.
So you know what I mean?
Get it out.
Does he do veneers, Dr. Peterson? Because I feel like a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, but you see you didn't know how much them teeth cost when ass teeth people be putting in their mouth? Yeah.
And they
it's like 50 grand.
They shave your actual teeth down into like fangs. So once they're in, you can't go back.
Oh, yeah. You got a nice smile, but man, $50,000?
It's the NFL insurance.
I'm just going to go brush my teeth.
You should have him throw a Corvus grill in.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I might have to give me a grill, but you could take them out, though. Like you said, those is permanent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give me a little crow right
just
there.
Just like a C for Corvus.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, midseason, and so we'll get your thoughts on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Actually, let's start with last night. Kansas City Chiefs remain undefeated, win in overtime. It's possible this team goes undefeated the whole season from your perspective? You know,
it's still a long way to go, and people are going to figure it out, because who would have thought that Tampa Bay would have been in the game that long, you know what I mean, without their main guys like Mike Evans and Goblin out. So, you know, shout out to Baker Mayfield, man. He's playing some pretty decent ball, and to hang in there and almost have a chance to win. But going undefeated, I still say it's a – you know, it's 50-50, but, I mean, it's not likely to happen because at some point, if you already got the bye, depending on who you're playing at the end, don't risk, you know, Patrick Mahomes being out there just to get a perfect season. I don't think that it's worth it. I mean, the goal for those guys is to get the three-peat, you know what I mean, something that's never been done in the NFL. So I think that's more important. So going undefeated, I think, is highly unlikely because at the end, if you got the bye, why play your starters?
Well, 2 weeks they're at Buffalo. So looking at their schedule, at Buffalo is definitely a tough one. And then maybe the second to last game at Pittsburgh. So if you
at Pittsburgh, it's gonna be tough.
So those I would say those they got the Texans, but that's at home. So I would say that, you know, at Pittsburgh and at Buffalo in 2 weeks will be the hardest on their schedule.
And I think they're gonna wanna play because those are possibly the teams that they're going to see in the playoffs, too. So, you know, Buffalo's definitely going to come out there and try to win, have something to prove, because they're a Super Bowl contending team from what it looks like right now. You know, and they're adding some weapons, but then Kansas City is making moves. Well, I think you go get Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. Curtis, did you pick the Bills the other day? Curtis, hello? Oh, tap him. Wake him up. Curtis, did you pick the Bills the other day, or was that Irvin thinking of somebody? I'm thinking of Boomer.
Bastista. Almost got it. I did not have the Bills. I think the Bills are going to be in the Super Bowl, though. I think Bills-Lions is my Super Bowl.
That's what I was saying. I was asking that if you picked that the other day.
Yes. I'm sorry. I was previewing audio. Yes, I absolutely did, and I think that but I do believe that the Lions, they just got Za'Darius Smith in a trade this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rusher. I think the Lions are the best team in football. I think they're better than the Chiefs. I don't know. They lost Aiden Hutchinson, and they haven't skipped a beat. They just replaced him, and there's a chance they get him back.
He might be back for the Super Bowl, right?
Michigan guy, Ty Law.
I ain't betting against Patrick Mahomes until somebody knocks him out. He's like the Brady. He's in the Brady world now. You don't bet against Mahomes until somebody's proven that they can beat him.
Right.
Especially I ain't betting against him.
In one game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, he brings up the Steelers, though. They've been playing pretty well. So you're a Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, I ain't a Steelers fan.
Well, I know, but you're from the area.
I am a huge, huge Mike Tomlin fan. You know what I mean? That's the type of guy. You know, met him before, but everyone that played, you know, for him loves to play for him. You know what I mean? He's one of those type of guys. He's going to hold you accountable. He has the utmost respect for his players. So that's somebody that is like, you know what? If you can play for any coach outside of the greatest who I had the opportunity to play, you know, with Bill Parcells, Coach Belichick, the greatest of all time, I would love to play for
Mike Tomlin. Yeah. Speaking of coaching, midway through the season, what grade do you give Jerod Mayo?
I mean, for what he's working with, I give him C plus. Because we haven't got to see the true potential,
right?
Because he doesn't have a lot of talent that he's working with. You know what I mean? So, like I said, you can stick Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. You put them on this team, you might get a couple more wins, but you still ain't going to Super Bowl. You still ain't going to beat none of the better teams. So that's why I try to convey to people that don't get it twisted.
So
he don't have the talent.
Tom Brady,
right?
You had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yep. With this team right now.
And the rest of this roster.
Yeah.
You would only get a couple more wins.
I think you would reach my 500.
Okay. Ty, are you sure they didn't give you the medication before you got here?
No. Well, if you gave Tom and Bill, they going to Super Bowl.
No, okay. I didn't say they going to Super Bowl, but they probably sitting here at 6-3.
You still need your receivers to catch.
Hey, you damn right.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying they're going to be like this. I'm saying you get a couple more seven wins and still mid-season.
They 6-3.
And I'm thinking you'll get to 500, like I said.
No, see, I think they're a playoff team with Tom and Bill.
Look at what the Patriots did in 06 with Jabbar Gaffney and Rashe Caldwell. They were basically 3 minutes away from the Super Bowl, a game they would have beaten Rex Grossman in.
You gotta consider the defense, too. I'm talking about across the board as team. He's definitely going to be an upgrade from a coach, and that's two positions, quarterback and the coach. What about everything else? That's not going to make your offensive line, you know, block any better. That's not going to make your defense tackle any better. That's not going to make you stop giving up those chunk yardage.
I think they scheme up something better, though, defensively. If Tom and Bill are here, they're a playoff team. They're not going in the Super Bowl. I agree with you on that, but they're a team.
But the standard is the Super Bowl is to compete to go to a Super Bowl.
Oh, man, those days are long gone.
I don't give a damn what nobody say. Yeah. They are not going to compete for a Super Bowl with the roster that's constructed, no matter if you had Tom Brady or Bill Belichick.
But don't you think, whether right or wrong, Jerod Mayo gets a little bit of a pass this season when it comes to the significant injuries on the defense side?
I'm like, tag him a C+.
Like, you know, Dennis Allen is done, right? So I don't think, and odds were better that Jerod Mayo would be fired than Dennis Allen would be fired. Like, I think he survives this year.
Oh, yeah. He's like every first year. Isn't the guy in Carolina, isn't he a first year head coach? Yes. What's his name?
Canales.
Yeah, Canales. Like, I feel like Dan Campbell, his team stunk his first year. Every first year coach gets a pass, especially when the organization and the owner handpicked that guy. So I don't know.
We didn't do great when Bill Belichick's first year, was it? Did we? I don't
5-11.
That's what I'm saying. We didn't do great.
No.
So, I mean, did he stink? Yeah, he stunk the first year. Okay, but guess what? Now no one thinks about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's just the nature of the game. And when you got a young quarterback, you got a young head coach, you're going to go through those growing pains. And at the end of the day, Jerod, give him some talent before we judge him on his coaching ability, because he doesn't have the best product out there right now. I think he's doing okay for what it's worth.
Would have liked to see him go for two, though, and try to win that football game.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, why not? You know what's pissing me off, though, guys, is when people say, okay, tank. You know, as a competitor, you don't go out there and try to tank to get the first pick, because even if you get the first pick, you already got your quarterback. Who is going to be actually there? But you're asking guys to tank to get somebody that's unknown in the draft. When you're getting college guys, we don't know if they're going to be good in the pros.
No, but I want them to lose so they can have the first pick.
What you going to do with it?
What I'm doing with it is I'm using it to trade down, pick up some more assets, maybe trade. I know it's sky in the pie, and I've been saying, and I'll keep beating pie in the sky. You know what I'm saying. Your sky's the limit, like Biggie said.
Yes.
I want to trade for a guy like Jamar Chase. And if I have multiple first-round draft picks, maybe that'll allow me to do that. So, and if I have the number one overall pick by trading down, maybe I'm able to pick up an extra first-round pick that allows me to put a package together to get one of those plays. Because I do agree with you. There is no sure thing when it comes to wide receiver in this year's draft. Like, there's no, like, guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. that you go, like, all right, or even like a Malik Nabers that you go, this is the guy. So I want it so I could pick up more assets to potentially trade for. You know, another guy who I'd be interested in calling is Deebo Samuel. I feel like with them signing Brandon Ayuk, he was already a little bit, you know, frustrated with the contract, wants a new one. So, I mean, like, these are things that I would be thinking about.
I think Deebo Samuel is a great player. He can do multiple things, but it depends on how you use him. Is this the type of offense that are going to use Deebo Samuel? How you use Deebo Samuel? Because if you put him out there one-on-one against the top corner, I mean, is he going to consistently beat him? They move Deebo around. He's a big bruiser guy. I know from a defensive back standpoint, I would never look at him and say, hey, as great as a player as he is, I'm not going to sit there like I'm nervous about that. I know he's going to now it's going to beat me deep and get behind me and, you know, get for the big play. That's not going to happen with him. So I'm thinking about a receiver, somebody that's going to be a real game changer like that. And you don't have to scheme around.
Well, that's why I said Jamar Chase originally. I don't know if Cincinnati, if I was able to pick up an extra first round pick because I had the number one overall pick. And I said to Cincinnati, I'm going to give you two first-round picks, 2 second-round picks for Ja'Marr Chase. Is that something that they would be interested in?
They need a line. So I know it's usually if you're not getting a quarterback, a left tackle. So I don't know who's coming out in the draft, but they need somebody on that offensive line to protect Drake May. Of course, he's going to make some bonehead rookie mistakes, but I like him, you know, thus
far. I was going to say, what do you think so far?
I mean, so far, he's doing all right. And then he can use his leg. I didn't know he can run like that. You know what I mean? He has some passes. It's like, oh, that was a nice pass right there. You know what I mean? So I think he has the confidence to go play. But at the same time, he's still developing. He's still learning. And that's why maybe Gerard didn't want to put him in the beginning, because he knew his offensive line wasn't very good. So, you know, he started getting gunshots. Mm-hmm. So he waited a little bit. Now it's no pressure. Man, just go out
but
there.
But there's
and play.
No Joe Alt. There's no Joe Alt in college, even with the O line position. That's another position. There's like not like this. You know, you talked about Joe Alt last year with Notre Dame. Like there was this Shime and I were talking about. It's the kid from LSU, but his past couple of games, he hasn't played that well. There's not that sure.
And Kelvin Banks at Texas.
Yeah, it's not that like that.
Take it to the Kelvin Banks.
And that's why I think that you want.
It ain't no Orlando Pacers, John, and the Ogdens or something like that coming out this year.
Ty, I have a question for you. Yeah. You know him better than anybody. You coached by him for 15 years. Do you think Belichick will come out of retirement and be the coach of the Cowboys next season?
You know what? I think there's a good possibility because, hell, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to be with Belichick on Saturday. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, what's
yeah,
going
we
on?
Cheerleader contest?
We doing something down in yeah, come on.
Dump out of there.
Did I dump that, Shine?
Nailed it.
Did I catch you?
I'm not.
I got it. Don't worry.
Damn, I didn't want you
I'm
to
not
get
BSing.
It.
That's
for real. That's
is.
The rumor. Getting
the man is shopping for engagement.
Yeah, see, that's the rumor. Well, you know what? I'm going to take me some Corvus down there. I'm going to get a little tizzy. So I'm going to bring the scoop back. Yes, but I'll be down with Belichick on Saturday.
What are you guys doing?
We're doing something on the Madden bus for Super Bowl. Something about, you know, his
see,
dynasty.
See, Bill likes Lecce. Doing all this.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to come back and get and
he's loving it.
And, so I leave Saturday.
You think he still wants to coach?
I think he's still going to coach.
Even
I mean, he's so close to the record, and we get to see his personality. But I think deep down, Bill is still a coach. And if the right opportunity comes, you know, I think the competitiveness in him is going to want to go back and coach because that's his comfort zone. We're seeing his personality on TV. You guys get to see it, but this is something that we've seen as players when the cameras is not on.
Right.
When the cameras is on, that's when he, you know, he buttoned up and ain't going to give you nothing. But when the camera's off, Bill, he's having a good time, you know, talking trash, drinking, whatever else you want to do.
Trade deadline today, 4 o'clock. Yeah. Anybody other than Drake May on this team that you don't listen to? I mean, Christian Gonzalez or?
You don't want to give up.
Okay,
Gonzalez.
So
no, you,
Drake
he,
May,
he got too
Gonzalez.
Much upside. Those the only thing that's worth to somebody else. So right now, it's like, can you trade?
Well, Duggar would be worth it to somebody else.
He would be worth it. I think.
What are you going to get for Duggar? A fifth round
pick?
Exactly. And the Gonzalez and May are the only two players on New England that are off limits. You want anybody else? Feel free, because what are you getting in return? Even with Duggar, what are you going to get? A fifth round pick for him? A fourth round pick if you're lucky?
Everything is for sale, you know what I mean? So if you're going to come up and give up 2 first round draft picks for, you know, Gonzalez or something like that, they might consider that, you know what I mean? But those are the only 2 guys that you see as like you can build towards the future with those.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody else is expendable, but if the right price come, you know, they'll probably do that, too. It's business at the end of the day.
Gonzalez is good, but I don't know if 2 first-rounders coming in.
I'm saying. You have to consider that, but I think he has so much upside.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I like him. I like him.
We got to take a break. Ty Law is here, and it's a Ty Tuesday. We'll get to the most entertaining play of the game coming up from Sunday. And you know what, Curtis? We can come back with Bill, who was even though he didn't want to be, was asked about coaching.
Love it.
Again yesterday. So we'll be right back.
Gerard, will you consider making changes on your coaching staff, or is this a situation where you'd like to see this group stick together through the rest of the season?
I would say, look, we all have to get better, and it starts, you know, with me, and it starts with the coaches, and that's part of coming together as a staff. So we all have to get better. We all want to win games, and we need to win games now. And I think, you know, the sense of urgency message wasn't just for the players; it's also for the coaches. And you know, nothing in this world, no matter who you are, myself included, is guaranteed.
I'll tell you what, Mayo lumping himself in with the rest of that group. Oh, yeah, pretty the coaches. Good. Am I going to make changes? I don't know. Nothing's guaranteed, myself included. I don't take that lightly.
Nothing's guaranteed. By the way, have you ever heard this whole song?
Yeah.
All the way through to the end?
Yeah, yeah.
It gets kind of crazy by the end.
Oh, good tune.
There's a lot going on at the very end.
I wouldn't say I'm the biggest System of a Down guy, but,
oh,
but, I hear it. I like it.
It's very good.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This one, it takes like a little bit of a long way around at the end is how I would put it. The song keeps going. Like, it just keeps going.
Is it rock? It really like rocks at the end?
No, it's like chanting and stuff. Nick, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it doesn't sound
like the song anymore.
Rock at the end.
Give me a year on Aerials. What year? That's the name of that song, right?
'01.
'01?
I think '01.
Yeah, I think it was on Toxicity, so that's 2001.
Yeah. Patriots are beating the Rams. Yeah. Tom Brady's going to Disney World.
What a time. Holy mackerel. That was the
Red
new
Sox
medal.
Signing Manny or something like that. And all of a sudden, System of a Down has Aerials.
Their sophomore album, which some would argue is their best album.
So they're chanting at the end of that? I can't picture
it. Yeah, remember? It's like, can you skip to the end of that song and figure it out? Like, it's kind of wild. Yeah, I like it.
Does it sound like Mayo groans?
One of their better songs.
They're chanting. It's like a chant, but like in a Mayo groan form.
Yeah, I feel like it. Unless I'm thinking of a different song.
Is this the end of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I can picture it. Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Harmonizing a little bit.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right, anyway.
Harmony.
So Gerard Mayo, though.
Harmony, Keith. There's no harmony on the Patriots coaching staff, is what we're trying to
exactly.
say.
Exactly. Yes, and that's why Nick played that.
Exactly.
And,
so far ahead of us.
They
didn't even know where we were going.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be feeling it a little bit. Like, there's no way he thought this half of the season was going to play out the way that it was.
So my question about that comment specifically,
yeah.
Do you think he's just saying it just because word salad Mayo's just saying words? There's or do you think that's an acknowledgement that, like, I better get things together or I might not be here next year?
So there's a good chance it's the first thing. He does say a lot of words.
Can't rule it out.
And then sometimes he shows up the next day and he's like, well, what I meant to say was, and then it's a whole another thing. So,
what I will say.
Or, you know, I think they have to be feeling the heat a little bit, and maybe it's not as, you know, maybe it's not as direct as, hey, you're not going to be back next year if this thing doesn't get turned around. But we were speculating the other day, like, why are we hearing the wide receiver position coach's name pop up? Like, mm-hmm.
It was Covington a couple of weeks before that.
Covington, and like, so you're...
Names are getting thrown around.
If it's all these other guys that are on the hot seat, eventually... You know, you can't be the one that keeps saying, well, it stops with me or it starts with me and all that stuff. And then you're like looking around saying, well, how come everybody else is gone? Well, at some point, you're also going to be gone. So he knows he has to turn it around. Although it is tough to say each week when Mayo speaks, whether he's like, is he going to stick by this? are these just words? Like, is he answering the question? Like, he's not thinking about it. It's like just words are coming out.
What was the one yesterday? Oh, the addition by subtraction line.
Yeah.
Which I would hope he... I hope he gets asked about it again on Friday.
Yeah.
And then I'm curious what he'd do. Is he leaning on it?
Addition through subtraction.
You haven't done any subtraction yet.
Nope.
So where's the addition coming? Like, we're looking for it, aren't we? It's not there.
So, but I'm curious. He should get asked about that on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to do other people's jobs for them, but go ahead and ask him about that on Friday, please.
Yes.
Beat writers. And then I'm curious.
I thought that was going to be a bigger deal. That really, we talked about it a lot. We thought it was a big deal.
I think it is a big deal, but I agree. It hasn't turned into a bigger story. But you know what, Keith? Sometimes we're ahead of the curve.
A lot of times
we're ahead of the curve.
Most of the times.
Sometimes we're asking Christian Gonzalez about what he ate in London, and people think it's a bad question.
People didn't like that.
Because they don't even know what's going on.
People got pretty
Because they don't actually
about
even know the full story. And so sometimes we're so far ahead of it. So maybe that'll turn into a bigger story. I wouldn't rule it out.
People hated that.
But, like, does he lean in on it? Or is that another one he distances himself from? Where he's like, ah, crap, I said addition by subtraction. What I meant was.
Oh, no, that one he'll definitely, if he's asked about it again, will change his tune. This one, no, because it still sounds good. That sounds like the right thing to say.
Oh, the coaching staff one I think he'll stick with.
He should stick by that.
I'm just curious if he means it or if it's just traditional Mayo word salad.
I think it might be... Both Mayo word salad, but also kind of coach speak.
Okay.
It's sort of a safe thing to say.
Yeah. Fill the time, filibuster,
right.
Listen to Coach Stacy.
Like, hey, guys, like, I know it's not good enough, and it's me. I'm the face of this thing.
You see, it sounds like Mac is going to start this weekend.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, apparently, even though he was limited yesterday at practice, isn't going to be good enough to go?
No.
Because he had the Patriots helped him have a get-right game. He had his best game of the year against the Patriots. Correct. Talking about Trevor Lawrence. So he kind of saved his job for a little bit, but now he's banged up. And so you're going to get the full Mac effect. Oh, who are they playing? Because I might pick up their defense. For,
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota's defense probably already owned. Yeah. But Minnesota defense is probably going to have a
great spot for Mac. I would say a great spot for Mac. Drop him right in on the crappy Jaguars, getting crappier by the week against Minnesota. I mean, I don't expect him to succeed anywhere, but that does not feel like a spot to succeed for Mac Jones. So that's happening this weekend, it sounds like. Rap Sheet said, Lawrence continues to get treatment and weigh options for the future. Sources say he's considered unlikely to play on Sunday. Jay Gruden, whatever you think of Jay Gruden, says he's hearing there's surgery for Trevor Lawrence, so it might not just be a one-off.
Well, and we saw Mac a few times this year, and it looked like the old Mac, right? The first game he got thrown into, remember, was it a pick or it was a fumble six?
Was it the end of? They were just getting smoked by Buffalo or somebody. Who are they getting killed by?
They're getting crushed by somebody.
I think it was Buffalo.
Same thing, running for his life, balls out, defensive score. Yeah.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, and we're joined on the hotline right now by ESPN's Adam Schefter, who's brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman Electric. It's electric. Adam Schefter's electric, and he joins us right now. Mr. Schefter, how you doing?
Hello there, Christian and Andy. How are we doing today?
We're doing just great. Nice to have you on. Nice to talk with you here the day after the NFL trade deadline. Last week when we discussed this with you, Adam, when we discussed the Patriots and what they might do, we sort of came to the conclusion that they were going to be active or at least try to be. Any rumblings as to potential deal? They stood pat, obviously, but any rumblings that you heard about potential deals that they had maybe in place that fell through? Were they active? Were they working the phones? How did that all go for them?
Every team works the phones, and I never heard that they were close to anything. That doesn't mean that they weren't, but I never got word, oh boy, we need to watch this year that they're about to trade this guy or trade for that guy. I always felt like it was an unusual situation when they were linked as buyers. Like, what in what universe does that make sense? Why are they buying now? They can spend whatever they want in the offseason and free agency. They can supplement and complement the roster then. Like, what are they adding for? What's the urgency to go add to the roster right now? Now, if there's a value there, of course. But if there's a value there, I'm sure there are going to be other teams interested in that value as well. So I never subscribe to the theory that they would be buyers at the trade deadline or very active in the trade market. KJ Osborne, there's an example. You know, would he have liked to have been traded? Probably. But there were a lot of wide receivers that were moved. And there were more wide receivers that were available than there were teams that actually needed wide receivers. So, again, I don't know who they were trading for, and I don't know who they were trading away, but I never heard that anything was close. Now, that doesn't mean that something didn't happen that I don't know about. That's certainly possible, but I never heard something that was very close.
Adam, Gerard Mayo kind of downplayed the trade deadline. He brought up, you know, it's not baseball, it's not the NBA, not a lot of big names get traded, where we actually saw some this year. Obviously, the receiver position had some big names dealt. What is the general perception around the league about the deadline? Are people aggressive? Do they think you can get a lot of talent moved during the deadline? Or are they more like Gerard Mayo, where it's like, it's not like baseball. We can't just make deals midseason and bring in great talent?
Well, I think people are open to making calls and doing their due diligence, but I think people also are skeptical. It's not like you're getting some great solution walking through your door that's going to turn around your roster on November 5th. That's not happening. And if we go back and look, there's been an increase in uptick in activity in recent years, and I think the ways of baseball and basketball have spread to football. Football always had been conservative, but there's a new, younger breed of general managers. They're more aggressive than ever before. They're engaged more than ever before. And we've seen some teams have some degree of success at the trade deadline, which I think has opened up the idea that people are willing to do it. But if we go back and look, even with the uptick in activity in recent years, there aren't many players who have come in and made a noticeable difference on the roster. And I think people are aware of that. I think that's one of the things that Gerard Mayo is referring to there. Yeah. Of course you're going to make calls. Of course you're going to look around to see if there's anybody available who you might like. The Dallas Cowboys had a high grade on Jonathan Mingo and paid a high price for a wide receiver who was basically relegated to backup duty in Carolina. But overwhelming majority of trades, the player doesn't have a dramatic impact on that roster. Therefore, there's no great urgency to act out to make a deal for your roster that may not even help it. So I think that's what Gerard Mayo was getting at, because that's, I think, the opinion of a lot of teams. Like, everybody's looking to upgrade their roster. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. But it doesn't mean that it can get done.
Obviously, a team that's in a different cycle, as Mayo would call it, the Kansas City Chiefs. It looks like Hopkins could be one of those success stories of a trade. Yeah. Do you think he could be a true game changer for them? It's weird to say because they were already undefeated. But right. he put out a picture on social media of Tom Brady and Randy Moss hugging, so he's certainly feeling pretty good about their chances.
Well, game changer sounds, I mean, I would say difference maker, and he looked like it on Monday night, and obviously he thinks he can be a difference maker because he posted a picture yesterday of Randy Moss and Tom Brady when they played together for the New England Patriots, and I think that he believes that they can have that type of impact. And I would say that DeAndre Hopkins definitely can impact that roster. I don't know that it's going to be that way on a weekly basis. Maybe it will be. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. They have a great need. They have a great quarterback. He's had great skills in the past. He can track the ball. I think when you spoke to people around the league, what people said is he's not a separator. He doesn't have great speed, but he does have a great wingspan. He does catch everything. He is a tremendously productive receiver. He's been, you know, at various points one of the top receivers in the league. I don't think that people across the league view him like that anymore, but you know what? I don't know if that's because he was playing in Tennessee the last 2 years. Maybe with Mahomes. Mahomes is going to elevate him the same way that Brady elevated Randy Moss.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Adam, obviously it was an exciting game for the Patriots. They didn't end up winning it, but that play by Drake May at the end of regulation, obviously a big highlight there. Would you say that that game has boosted his profile around the league among rookies and other teams sort of evaluating him? Is that fair to say?
No, I think that people were impressed. I think it's watching that game and seeing that play, I think it gives people a glimpse of the type of talent that he has. That's what you're looking for out of a quarterback, a guy who can extend plays, make things happen, be elusive in the pocket, then somehow find a way to get out and throw a football that's caught for a touchdown. I'm not disrespecting the Patriots. It's not like people are waiting to see Patriot highlights and say, well, look at this Drake May guy. You know, right now, they're at the bottom rung of the league. And so, you know, people are more consumed with DeAndre Hopkins and Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens than Drake May and the Patriots, just the way that it is. But that was an impressive play, and it shows you what he's capable of doing and why the Patriots drafted him with the 3rd overall pick and why they were unwilling to move that selection.
Can he be one of those guys? I know we talked about C.J. Stroud, obviously brought wins to Houston last year, but also brought sort of a swag that it seemed like people wanted to play there. There's already talk Jaden Daniels. People wanted to be traded there, supposedly at the deadline, to play with Jaden Daniels. Does Drake May have that kind of attraction? Can he have that kind of attraction to help put them over the top when recruiting people in the offseason?
I don't know that anybody can answer that right now. Like, it's still very early in the process. And C.J. Stroud didn't become C.J. Stroud until the back half of the season and the playoffs. So, to me, it's too early. Like, if Drake May continues ascending and making plays like that, that's going to get people talking. It's going to get people's attention. And I'm sure it would result in people being open-minded to coming to play in New England with him. If he doesn't improve, doesn't ascend like that, then no. But how many games has he started here, we're talking? 2 or 3 games? There's not a large enough body sample size of work to say what he is or isn't going to be just yet.
Fair enough, yeah, and it's only been 3 starts. Who do you think came out looking the best after the trade deadline? Who do you think has the most, outlook here coming into the second half of the year?
Well, again, you know, Kansas City, what it gave up for DeAndre Hopkins, it wasn't a deal that was made yesterday, but he looks like he's going to make an impact for them. So you'd have to start there. The Commanders made a big splash yesterday. Saints had to clear up some salary, and they go and get Marshawn Lattimore, a four-time Pro Bowl cornerback. So we'll see how that works out. The Lions, I mean, that was the biggest no-brainer move ever, Za'Darius Smith. Like, everybody was waiting for that to happen, and it finally happens with the deadline upon them later in the day. And Detroit has looked like, with all due respect to Kansas City, the best team in the league. And now you go get a former three-time Pro Bowl defensive end. He may not be that anymore, but in that defense, he's definitely going to be a factor. He's definitely going to be felt, and he definitely upgrades that defense in the absence of Marcus Davenport and Aiden Hutchinson.
Shefty, not to set you off late in the conversation here, is Robert Kraft going to make it this year?
He should. No, he should have made it a while ago. I mean, it's ridiculous that he hasn't, and I can't stand that they make these people wait when he is going to be in the Hall of Fame and he belongs in the Hall of Fame. I can't answer how a politicized process is going to work and whether or not he's going to gain entry. He belongs, he should be, and we'll see if people wind up doing the right thing in the end. I don't know. When is that decision made? Do we know?
I don't know the decision. He just made the cut down to 9, I believe, in terms of contributors. So, final stretch.
Well,
here.
He should make the cut down to 1, too. He should make the cut down to 1, too. So, let's see if people can figure that one out.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. I'm Adam Schefter. I think you're probably right. It's not the toughest field this year, so I think he's getting in this year. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Christian, have a great week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
All right, that is Adam Schefter. If you missed any part of that interview, then you can check it out on Audacy.com. That's AUDACY. Download the Audacy app. Save WEEI as a favorite, and you can listen to any part of the show wherever you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Back-to-back guests here as we come to the 3:45, 4 o'clock corner. Brian Scalabrine joins us next.